I'm Maddie.
And I'm Emma.
And this is the Content Creatives Podcast. Our mission is to inspire creatives to discover, grow, and own their brand. And today, Brooke, the founder and owner of Studio B Portraits, is here. Studio B Portraits is in Issaquah, Washington, and the studio offers both photography and salon services for senior pictures, family photos, professional headshots. And fun fact, I actually did my senior photos with Brooke. I was a senior model, so that was super fun, and I'm really excited to have her here today.
But before we get started, let's do our question of the day. And the question of the day is, what's your favorite place to take winter photos? So Brooke, do you want to go first? Is there a favorite place that you like to take winter photos at?
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be what most people would guess from a photographer. So my very favorite place to take winter photos is at my house outside. And the reason is I have three kids, and I think a lot of times as a creative, we are looking for new and fresh and different. But for me, I'm a big fan of using what I have, and I have my kids there and I can push them outside. So I usually get my best, most spontaneous, happy pictures of my kids by putting them in the clothes I want and then staying close by. Because many times kids get fatigued and then the expressions don't match. So for me, the best winter photos, again, when it's snowy and it happens, is to just do it as quickly as possible, a better done than perfect approach.
Oh, I love that. I always love seeing every year, because obviously I follow you on Instagram too, and I love seeing you post like your family photos that you post every year. And it's just so, like, I agree, when it snows in like Washington State, it is beautiful. So especially if you can get some nice like winter photos at home, that's always a win. Yeah, for me, I don't know. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, what I was going to say is the thing that's really nice, again, when you're at your house, is that you can also, when you're popping outside, get the twinklies going, and you can use plugs and those kind of things. I think sometimes it seems like we have to go or do. And so I just like using what I have sometimes.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, sometimes we have to be resourceful, and especially you can create beautiful shots at home if you just know how to set it up correctly. Like this year, I was very insistent that our decorations for Christmas be Instagrammy so that I can use them for both.
Right.
So I was like, Sam, we need to get a flocked tree this year. He was like, so we put up both. So now we have two Christmas trees. Cause I was like, I want one background that's like more like plain, so I can kind of have some like easy, like color pop shots, and then some other ones with the other tree. So we have two trees this year. Cause I'm also a big fan of shooting at home when you can.
Yeah.
And then for me, I feel like I might actually, Emma and I are actually going to Leavenworth today. And I think that I'm going to say Leavenworth because we've had some really fun shots there, and they just do such a great job of setting up the town. Brooke, I'm not sure if you've ever shot in Leavenworth in the wintertime. We did a little bit last year, but it was beautiful. It's definitely a little bit of a trek, but I feel like it's so worth it. I'm really excited for us to head down there.
I do. I love Leavenworth, and I have photographed there multiple seasons. As a matter of fact, my coworker and other lead shooter is headed there this weekend as well. The place that I love to photograph when I go to Leavenworth, of course, the town is sweet just as it is with all the lights and that kind of thing. But particularly the Post Hotel is magical. If you can just walk out on their deck, it is just, it's gorgeous imagery.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's where we're going.
Oh, okay. There you go. Well done. Great minds think alike.
Well, Sam and I actually stayed there for our honeymoon when we got married, because we ended up just eloping in Leavenworth with everything that was going on. And we stayed at the Post Hotel afterwards, and it was beautiful. And I've been itching to go back, and I haven't seen it in the winter yet. That was during the summer. So I've heard it's magical. I can't wait to see it.
It is. It's great.
And then for me, I think one of my favorite places to take winter photos is just Snoqualmie Pass. It gets kind of crazy in the wintertime, and it gets very busy if you go there on the weekends. And last winter, we attempted to go to Gold Creek Pond, but there was a lot of snow on the ground, and the road there is unpaved, so it's pretty dicey. And we ended up just driving around and went to Hayek Snow Park. So there's lots of snow parks around the area. That was the first time we had like stopped by one, and it was the perfect setting. I mean, there was a parking lot there, and you literally just like walk off the parking lot and you're in a beautiful setting and can capture beautiful content. So for anyone who's local and wanting to take snow photos up in the mountains. Snow parks are a great hack. Highly recommend that.
We shot there as well last year too. And I think what is really interesting about what you said about the parking lot, you can get some of the most fabulous shots and never have left the parking lot. Isn't that so convenient?
Maddie and I, there's like a sledding area and we walked down, we were on the parking lot, walked maybe like 6 feet into the snow and there were all these snowmen built and we're like, perfect. We'll just take pictures with a snowman. And so, that's a great spot.
Yeah. I think the tip on that, sorry, I know I keep stepping on you. The great tip on that, that somebody gave me, so I always like to pass it on, is that you have to have permits. Did you have that as well to make sure that you can shoot there?
Oh, we didn't know. We just paid for parking and then we took photos. I had no idea.
Do you mean like photo permits or the like park permit to like the, or what's it called? I know there's like a park pass. We had the park pass, but we didn't have like a specific photography permit.
Well, no, it's specifically around what you're saying. So it depends on who you are. So if I'm me as a mom being civilian, no problem. If you go out there and look like you might know what you're doing, it is a flag. If you are shooting anything that looks professionally executed, it is something that there is permitting that is required. So I was glad that somebody had given me that tip, and that kind of applies to any of the national parks that you need to make sure you have your proper permitting. No big deal. Again, if you're civilian, if you're just going in there with your iPhone, no problem, but anything that looks the slightest bit professional, and this is the case here in Washington, and also I started my career in California, that there is a lot of professional photography requirements, and it's always good to just kind of check out the state websites before you head out to do those kind of things.
Oh, that's good to know. We had no idea. Awesome. So we'll go ahead and get started in today's interview. So thank you again, Brooke, for joining us and sharing with us, you know, one of your favorite places to take winter photos. So we're just going to go in and want to get to know you a little bit better. And so can you please introduce to our listeners who you are and what you do?
Oh, for sure. I'm Brooke Clark. I'm CEO and lead photographer for Studio V Portraits. And our photography studio is here to help you look like you on your best day. Primarily that focuses on family portraits, high school senior pictures that are inspired by fashion, and then personal branding for business.
Amazing. And could you just share with us like where you grew up and how you found your way to Issaquah? Because that's where your photo studio is currently located, correct?
It is. So for sure. So I grew up here. I graduated University of Washington, go Huskies. Then I moved to LA and I started my photography career probably a little bit later than your average Joe. I had an entire marketing profession. I worked in corporate America for companies like Sprint. And then when I had my first baby, I told my husband I wasn't going back. And he was like, what do you mean by that? And I was like, I think I want to be a photographer. I took this really great picture of our daughter. I think I can make this work.
He was like, what? And what, I guess, like what sparked your initial interest in photography? Did you know was it always like a passion of yours, like through college and when you were working in corporate America, or was that like newly discovered, after you had your baby? Like, where did that interest come from?
So I always liked photography. I photographed as an enthusiast using film. So I was never professional growing up. I just really liked that as a hobby, like a lot of people do, but it was film-based. And then when I started working in marketing, I was in Los Angeles and the job was working with celebrity and getting access to venues and events that just were just not seen. This is obviously prior to Facebook, prior to Instagram. So I was walking with a camera, just collecting these moments and these memories that I would share with friends and family. It was really, again, just hobby-esque. And then when I had my daughter, now digital existed, I took a picture of her. And as a new mom, I was like, oh my God, she's so cute. And wow, I am really good at this. By the way, it wasn't a really good picture, but I felt I felt like I had done something and I had just enough confidence to think I could learn to be better. And so I told my husband, here's my deal. If I can do this and not be on the job boards, will you let me do it again another month? And he was like, okay. And by let you, I just mean like, are we being supportive? We had a new baby. We'd only been married just over a year. So the whole idea was I'm going to be somebody I've not been before. I need your support. And he was like, yeah, okay. All right. And so I took the pictures I had taken from, again, being an enthusiast, and I took a old school portfolio, printed portfolio, into Ford Models in Beverly Hills. And I literally just went to an open call and showed my book of work. And they said, okay, well, we'll give you a test shoot. And from that first test shoot, I then started working for Ford Models, doing their new faces for children and young teens. And that's kind of where the ball started getting rolling.
Wow, that's incredible. I know, because I remember when I like worked with you for my senior photos, and like we talked a bunch because I was, you know, senior model representative. I also had done a few photo shoots with you before. And I remember hearing a little bit about that in your pet, but it's just so interesting hearing you go into it, especially because that's such a great way to start, just kind of going around and handing out your resume. And especially like during such a time of change in your life, when you're like newly married, like first time mom, like that's so like exciting. It sounds like that was a very exciting, but also like changing time in your life.
Well, you know what? I think what's really interesting too, again, for anybody who might be hearing people's startup stories and that kind of thing, I think what's just really important to remember, and I try to even remind myself now whenever I'm doing things that are new, I didn't have to be a winner, right? For me, it wasn't, if this doesn't work, nothing's going to work. It was, this is going to be the first thing I try. And if they say no, then I'm going to try something else. And even in my corporate career, when I was doing marketing has a creative spin to it where you have to accept that you're going to try 10 things and one or two of them might work. So you're going to learn as much from what didn't hit the mark as what did. And so in this case, because I was trying something new, I went on a go-see. I didn't not go. I didn't get in my head. It was like, well, let's see what happens. And I went in and okay, great. It did go well. And that started a little bit of a flywheel. And I remember the first time I called myself, I was alone, by the way, I called myself a photographer. I gave myself the title, which was essentially giving myself permission to try the next thing. And it led me to starting to market myself and move myself in the direction of owning that space and owning that title for myself without having to be perfect, right? This is not about perfection. It's about effort, improvement, next step.
Brooke, I'm so glad you shared that like piece of advice to our audience, because I think we do have listeners who are interested in starting their own business or their first side hustle, or, you know, wanting to break into photography or content creation. And sometimes the scariest part is just giving yourself the permission to do so and allowing yourself to explore that next step without that pressure of needing to be, you know, successful, quote unquote. And so really appreciate you just sharing that, because I think that's something that everyone kind of just needs a reminder, you know, and especially you'll find in what we found, at least in our content creation careers, is you figure out one thing and then you figure out the next and then the next and then the next, and then you keep growing from there. So I'm so glad you shared that.
And then moving on to the next question, you kind of already chatted about this a little bit, but would love to hear a little bit more from you about, like, did you always know that you were creative? I know you talked a little bit about how you first got started, but is it, I know for me, like when I was little, like always picking up a camera camera when I could, not that little, but like, I remember that was one of my first Christmas gifts. And then again, I've already talked about this with you. Like getting in front of the camera with you was always so fun. And I remember even to my senior photo session, session, I think I brought some of the paintings and artwork that I had done, and we took a picture with me kind of laying flat with them. And I'll be the first to say, similar to what you said about, you know, looking back at that first picture, looking back at those paintings, not the greatest, but I feel like for me, that was always something. Did you always know that you were creative?
I would never have characterized myself as creative, but I know that I was, before the word existed in my head, I was always entrepreneurial. I was always interested in businessy kind of things. My mom used to tell me this story that she walked in and I was sitting in front of a laundry basket turned over, and it was my desk and I had an unplugged rotary phone, and I was apparently playing Office. And she was like, "You're 8 and you're taking business calls." And I was like, "Okay, that's really funny." I now know that was mirroring her. My mom was a working mom. My dad went to work every day. They were in the office. So apparently that's what I thought you know, did during your day. And so I always had a little business of some kind. In college, I had a note-taking business. And then when I had my first big girl job, I even, again, this is before internet kind of showed you that people were making side hustles. I walked into Sears and asked them, if I made a sweatshirt, would you carry a line over in the corner? I see you have a blank spot. I just didn't mind if they said no. No was just, okay, well, I guess we'll do something else. So I was creative in terms of, I always wanted to make a business. I told my dad I wanted to own a Subway when I was, I don't know, 17. He was like, "You want to make sandwiches all day?" And I was like, "No, I want to be the boss. I just want to have something." And I didn't care what the something was. I just wanted to make stuff as it pertained to doing my career. I didn't want to be a person who dreaded waking up every day. I wanted to love what I do. And so my hobbies became zero hobbies, and it became my careers. Whatever I was into was what I made a business around.
I'm so glad you said that, because we've talked about like hearing no on the podcast all the time, because like as creatives and like when talking about influencers in particular, when you're reaching out to brands and pitching brands, that is a very salesy kind of thing to do. We've talked about how that relates back to the sales classes that Emma and I took in college. Also, go Dogs. but when we were doing that, like we were kind of trained in those classes to learn to accept no and just hear no as one step closer to a yes, but that doesn't make it any less intimidating if you haven't kind of gotten in that practice. So I'm so glad that you kind of put it in that perspective too, because it really is just, you know, if they're going to say no, that's fine. Then just move on to the next opportunity, because that is, I think, a big hurdle for a lot of people when it comes to either getting into creative careers or being entrepreneurial, because it does involve a lot of taking that initiative, asking those questions, putting yourself out there. And it can be really scary sometimes.
Well, and I think also what you realize is that nobody's going to be a bigger critic of you than you. Like, again, I am always checking myself, always trying to be better. If you're not embarrassed by what you did 5 years ago, that's a problem, because you're supposed to be so much wildly better than you were then now, right? So it's like, okay, I'm just going to accept that as part of the process as I'm moving through. I remember having my very first studio, the one that was outside of my home, and was so proud of myself, even though it was a little closet. And I walked down the stairs and there was a guy from one of the TV studios, and he had a camera set up, actually filming a piece for one of the stations. And he's like, "What do you do?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm a photographer." And he's like, "Yeah, everybody's a photographer. They've got one in their pocket." And I was like, okay.
Just, like, all right.
Right. And I thought, you know what? Okay. I don't know you. I better be cheering myself on. This is not about your friends or your family or some stranger on the street telling you that you're doing great. You tell you you're doing great. You find your own markers and your own wins that make you excited to do the next one. And luckily that has always, my self-talk has always been something of trying to be my own best cheerleader. I'm surprised often that people spend a lot of time putting themselves down. It's like, ooh, better to be your own best friend as it pertains to business or creative, because it's going to get crunchy and it's going to get hard and you're going to need somebody who's in your corner. So it might as well be you.
Oh, I love that mindset. Yeah. Cause I definitely, as creatives, especially like influencers, I feel like when you tell someone, oh yeah, I'm an influencer, you hear that all like the same thing all the time. Like, oh, well, everyone these days is an influencer. And I'm like, all right. Well,
okay. Thanks for that.
Like, thanks for that feedback. Really appreciate it. I did like a TikTok where I was like, nobody asked, like, cause no one did. So I'm so glad you talked about that too, because it can absolutely be frustrating, but it's so important to be your own cheerleader, like you said. And going back to, I know you had mentioned your first studio. I would love to back up a little bit to that and just hear a little bit more about what inspired you to like create your own like studio. I know we already talked a little bit about your business and how you got started in photography in general, but, and you know, was it just that entrepreneurial spirit where you were just like, okay, well, I'm already doing photography, I'm going to open up my own studio. Like, how'd that get started?
Okay, thanks for asking that. So it's actually pretty linear for me. So I took a picture of my daughter, and from there I started working from my home. I was in Los Angeles base. And so a lot of it was photographing outside and working with clients. And I booked some pretty high profile clients just by way of being a marketing person. My very first client was Disney. That wasn't just a meet them, do a family portrait. I booked a contract with Disney, and I wasn't capable of shooting the job that I had just booked. So I became a producer. And so I was finding locations, I was finding talent, I was getting hair and makeup. So I was working in the business of photography. And what was super cool about that is I started learning the different aspects of how that world worked. And one of them was studio. So then when my husband and I were going to move from California back to Seattle, I was like, well, the one thing that's not going to happen is beautiful weather today, tomorrow, and next week. So I better start thinking about, what does it look like now that I shoot the pictures? How do you do this when the weather is just quintessential Seattle? And so I moved up here. I was 8 months pregnant with my second baby at that time. So when we moved here, I had been shooting professionally for about 2.5 years. And I immediately started looking for studio space. And so I found just a little closet and said, okay, well, this is going to be it. And it was in Gilman Village, which is that sweet little set of boutiques and shops here on the east side. And I was on the upstairs floor. And the whole idea was, I'm just going to get something that the financial investment's not going to, you know, scare me. And I'm just going to do with what I have, make it work, and keep it out of my house so that clients could have what I hoped was going to be a luxury experience. And again, in my brain, I was like, well, this is going to make me seem different because a lot of people work from their home and I can be special or unique because I will be having a retail space. And it was so cute there. And we were there for about 3 years, second floor, added my first full-time employee to help me because it was going really well. And then as we shifted, the whole universe, I don't know, crashed in is maybe the word, in like 2009-ish. And instead of closing things down and doing less, I was like, I think we should triple the size of the studio and move to someplace new. And so we stayed in Issaquah and got a new studio space, and we stayed there for about 10 years. Until I bought our current space, I bought our building, and we renovated and remodeled our new forever home, also in Issaquah. So it's technically my third studio space as we've kind of been growing over the last 15 years.
That's incredible. Like, to hear you literally started in a small, you described it as a closet, and now owning your own photography, like photo, you know, studio space. So thank you for sharing that. And then I know, so I guess I was introduced to you because you did senior photography with Maddie, but you do family portraits and also professional headshots. Is there, which one did you get started with? Was it senior photography, families, or was it always all three or all sorts?
Oh, it's a great question. So when I very first started in Los Angeles, all I knew, because again, I knew nothing. All I knew is that I liked people. I liked the connection of humans. So when you can think about all the things that you can photograph, sunsets, landscapes, product, all I knew is it should probably be people. And because I was already a mom and again, into children and liking teens and into fashion, like that was kind of my space. As soon as I went to Ford Models, they were like, well, you do children and teens. So I said, okay, that's what I do, right? Whatever you tell me I do is what I do. And then I realized immediately, most children and teens have parents. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, that's kind of an easy leap to families. So that was really the ecosystem of how I was working down there. And there's no such thing really as senior pictures. If you're in Los Angeles and you're having your pictures made, the industry there is acting, entertainment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was a different bend. When I came up here, I had said to my sister, I think I'm going to do babies. And she was like, but you really like fashion and teenagers. And she's like, and you're a mom. And different tangent here, but typically moms leave themselves last. They don't have good pictures of themselves. They are holding the camera. They are the absolute afterthought of everything that they do because they are caring for their families. So the minute I started seeing that I could make a mom feel special, she might be pretty and fabulous in a way that she didn't remember she could do. It was opening up my whole world that we would do many times, meet you by way of your child or your teen, and then open you up to having a family portrait where you got to feel as beautiful as you are.
That's so sweet. I love that. I actually remember, I can't remember if it was like a news article. It was a few years ago, but that was actually a huge topic. It was like, moms, get in there with your families, like get photographed, like, you know, just be you are capturing the memories, but be there, you know, in the photos and in those memories. And so what a great opportunity, you know, that you recognized and allow families and moms especially to be recognized. So that's really sweet. Thank you for sharing that. And then kind of a follow-up question to this, you've shared with us how you've been able to like hire your first employee, move to 3 different studios, end up, you know, owning your own, and you bought during like the financial crisis in 2009, which is incredible, by the way. That's like the opposite of lots of businesses in America. What helped you build your business? Was it traditional marketing, digital marketing, word of mouth? Would love to hear even like the 1 or 2 or 3 things that really helped you continue to grow, even through, I mean, like the financial crisis, like we had mentioned.
So I didn't, just to make sure that timeline wise, I didn't purchase in 2009. I moved my space because a lot of people, businesses were closing. And so there was opportunity to find new retail space. And a lot of owners were motivated to help you, right? So I would say 2009 is likely going to mirror maybe what is happening for people now, right? A lot of businesses, unfortunately, if they didn't make it during this COVID time, you're going to see openings and opportunities and business owners who might be willing to share and give space at a different rate. So in 2009, that's what that looked like. I was cutting over, looking for a new, bigger space at a time when people needed somebody to lease and rent because there had been a loss of business. So that was just, again, reading the environment, which a little bit mirrors what is happening now. So when I had been there for 10 years, I had spent 3 years looking for something to buy. And that's a long game, a patience thing. I knew I wanted to be staying in my community. We live here. We have been working here. So I did not want to move communities. I really think it's special. The East Side is such a special place for us. So it was like, okay, I looked for 3 years for something to buy before I found our current space. And so that was just knowing what I was looking for and diligently kind of moving that direction, but not trying to do anything fast. I think a lot of times we wonder why things aren't working and you're like, well, it is working. It's just it's not instant. A lot of this is about laying the groundwork for your goals and then waiting for the opportunities while still leveraging the ones you have and kind of wrapping it around to what you asked me around marketing. And that is my very first career, and a little bit like the way some people like to buy shoes. I really like marketing. I like traditional marketing. I like print marketing, I like digital marketing, I like social marketing, I like all of it. I think the thing that makes me different is mine is micro. I have very little interest in having 10 million of anything. I am not selling or doing business or creating relationships worldwide. I really embrace being a small business person. My passion and my love is around connection to people. And so if you look at our social media presence or my personal, how I engage, it is not about volume. It is about true connection to my community, to the people we do business with. I have many clients where I can just proudly say, wow, I did your newborn pictures and now I am doing your senior picture. Are you kidding me? Like, it has been a evolution of how you think and who you market to. I went from, I'll just say the work, we'll work for food, which is where I think we all start out when we are starting anything new. And now I understand that who I'm marketing to is a very specific type of client. I am less about volume and I'm more about marketing to my correct dream client that values me and that I love working with.
Brooke, thank you so much for sharing that. And I think one thing we hear, especially right now, that I think entrepreneurship is probably the most popular it's ever been. And, you know, there's a lot of kids and just like young adults and everyone of all ages, like wanting to start their own businesses. And I think like what you said about, it's actually about understanding who your target market is and meeting their needs and you being happy with that. Cause I think there's also on the flip end, because entrepreneurship is so popular, everyone's like, I want to be the next Mark Zuckerberg, or I want to, you know, I want to make Twitter. I want to be the, and it's like, oh, actually, I mean, that's totally fine if like, you know, that's your dream and you build apps and whatever that may be, but the dream doesn't have to be, I'm going to make $10 million or whatever, sell Instagram for $4 billion or whatever that may be. Right. Hearing you just say like, hey, like I care about my dream customers. I'm able to like build like lifetime relationships. I mean, like, look at Maddie, you shot her senior photos and like, and now we have you on, she launches a podcast, you know, after high school, after college, and she starts her own thing. And so it really shows like the relationships that you've been able, you know, to build and foster within your community. I mean, that it seems, I'm assuming, has definitely like been such a great return. And so thanks for sharing that. And just again, a reminder to our listeners out there, right? Like if you have a dream to start your own business, getting really clear on like your why and like what is actually going to make you happy. I think that will be like, I know that sounds very general, but I think that's like a great way, like a great mindset to like really think about and clarify as you start your first business or your side hustle.
Yeah. And a huge focus on that relationship piece too. I love that. Cause like, even with like creators, like building relationships with brands so that those are brands that you can work with like frequently. And like, Brooke, I know I've seen so many like families year over year, like come back to you for their Christmas card photos and seeing you post those and seeing that, like my family friend that introduced me to you, I know every year they go back to, and I love seeing their updated pictures. And of course it's all over all of their Facebook pages. This particular family, it's like updated profile pictures at least every year, if not every season. I feel like I love that. I just love that you build those relationships. And you also like, I do want to add, I just think you're so talented at building those relationships and making just people feel comfortable in front of the camera and trust you. I know that's a little bit of a side, you know, side conversation, but I do want to add that into this conversation because you really are so great at building those relationships. I just remember feeling so uncomfortable when I first got there. I'm like, oh, I haven't really been in front of the camera all that much. And you made me feel like a model. I was like, I'm going to do this. And I've already told you this, but I am convinced that's what inspired me to want to be a content creator because I just loved it. You're so great at that. And I just wanted to throw that in there.
Oh, that's really sweet. And it's neat to watch what you've done with it. I think the thing that is so neat when you watch people grow in their journey and their experience is people say things. And then the beauty of it is watching them make it happen. And of course, for somebody like myself who follows you, it probably looks fast and easy to me, right? Yeah. And then for you who's living it, you're like, not fast, not easy, putting a lot in to make this happen, but it's so special to get to watch that journey and the benefit and the blessing to the work that I have chosen here is that I get to stay connected. Social media has been really neat in that aspect that you don't have to speak and talk to then get to watch and still connect in a way that feels comfortable. You know, the thing that I think is also really kind of cool again about watching people's journey is it can evolve. You can start out as one thing and then pivot it and change it into something else. And it's really special to get to watch that and build your business. If we're just speaking around your listeners and the creatives, a lot of people said when I was working, what do you mean you don't work evenings and weekends? And I said, well, don't get me wrong. I work a lot of evenings and I work a lot of weekends, but I'm not working with clients. I'm doing the business, that piece of it that works for me. And I can be my very best self Monday through Friday. These hours, I can give you my absolute best instead of working all the time, draining yourself. And then you're not bringing your spirit and your blessings and the best to your clients if you're not first taking care of yourself and prioritizing what is the best way that you work for your business in your business so that you can bring your best self to it.
Yes. Em and I are nodding over here because it's just, there is so much behind the scenes work. And, you know, it's just like, oh, well, if someone asks, oh, can you turn around this photo in a day? It's like, okay, well, yes, I can take it in a day, but I need to do all the editing. I need to like write all the copy. And like, there's so much that goes into it. It's not, and especially with growing and building your business overall, like you can't just let it, you know, there are different things that you need to grow and evolve as a business. And actually a little bit of a segue into that, because you had talked about before we started recording, something really exciting that you guys are now offering at Studio B for, you know, growing your business and expanding it. You guys are now offering salon services, which is super cool. Like, what inspired you to do that? I know we already talked a little bit about that before we started recording, but would love to share that with our audience too.
Oh, for sure. Okay. So in our new space, our studio space is 3,800 square feet. It's two floors. And we had all of this opportunity to kind of build the business of our dreams. And so in starting, it was, okay, what do we need to provide the best experience to our clients? And what we realized is we had been providing camera-ready styling, hair, makeup, glam, helping you feel and look your best. Really important to emphasize, this is not about makeovers. This is about the best version of you. And we had been partnering with amazing salons and outside artists, but we were missing some control components of experience when, for example, you would be at a salon and then you would make your way down. And if you needed something tweaked or something changed, you had already left that artist. So the whole idea when we had done Studio 2.0, the one before this one, is we were bringing in hair and makeup some of the time and then working with outside salons other times. And so when we had come to this new space, the idea was all services could be done here. A, it lets people relax. Sometimes there's some anxiety about being in front of a camera. So sitting in a space that is luxurious, having a bottle of water, having the music playing, it started setting up a mood and environment that allowed for somebody else to have their very best experience before they were having an experience. And so by putting the salon here, A, we had the space to do it. It also gave opportunity for us to meet new hair and makeup artists. And it started growing for us in a goal way that I had set for us, which is I wanted to start collaborating and creating opportunity for other creators here to have a space and a place to work with our clients and start making something that doesn't seem like I see it in a lot of places. I see salons, and I know there are photography studios and they're independent, but I was trying to build something under one roof that would be one place for you to have a luxury experience that really let you look like you on your best day. And that usually starts with feeling like your best self.
And it's so smart. Like when I was going through your website and I was like, wow, you literally could book a photo studio. You don't need to worry about finding, you know, like there are a lot of freelance hair and makeup, you know, creatives out in Seattle, but you literally could just do it in all in one day or all in one session. Right. And so, I can just imagine like if you're a family and you're getting ready to like take your annual Christmas photos and kids' schedules are crazy, your work schedule's crazy, and you set this day, what a treat to come into, you know, a salon and studio and be like, oh my gosh, it's all going to be taken care of. Like everyone's going to look their best and I don't have to worry about doing my own, you know, hair or makeup. So I actually thought it was like really smart to do that. And I'm actually, as I was thinking about it, it's like, I'm surprised that more people aren't doing this because this is totally, it makes sense to me. So.
Well, and it's twofold because if you're just going to kind of piggyback on that example. So mom is always last, right? She's always putting herself last. I could throw mud on my kids and they would still be cute, but I need help. Right? Like I could use a little assistance. And what has been really nice is we see mom coming down, sitting in the chair, and then dad brings the kids an hour and so later. And so everybody gets a minute. The kids aren't sitting around underfoot while you're trying to put some mascara on, while you're trying to put a bow in their hair. All of a sudden, it just, again, it changed the entire experience to one of special. And we tell them, you know what? Make a day of it. You come sit in our hair makeup. We're going to pamper you. We're going to take care of you. Your kids show up. And then after you do this experience, we oftentimes hear the exact same thing. Wow, this was so easy. And it's like, well, that's what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be you stressed out, everybody in tears. And then somebody puts a camera up and says, okay, now be cute.
Amazing. So now we're going to move into kind of the third segment of our podcast, because we've talked about, you know, starting your brand, building your business. And now we're kind of going the segment of establishing your brand and business. And so kind of the first question in this section is, what are a few major lessons you've learned establishing your brand and business?
That's really good. I'd say the first one is just continuity. Things that I stumbled into later years in, I think there's a lot of short script for people, crib notes, if you will, where you're like, actually, let me just help you straight away. It's really fun when you're creative to change things up. But in point of fact, the more you keep your brand consistent, your messaging consistent, your fonts, your logos, your delivery consistent, that's when people can start to recognize you. And for me, I'll just use a silly one. When I used to take pictures of myself, I really liked the color pink. So I would put that on for a headshot. But then I noticed when I started doing marketing, I would always pick the one where I was in gold, white, or black, which happens to be our brand colors. There is a continuity now of presentation that when we shoot anything for ourselves, even my studio is set up and designed in black, white, and gold, so that when we are taking images behind the scenes, every version of how we deliver our marketing should be in a continuity of matching the brand. It's not going to make the phone ring immediately because somebody saw you wearing your brand colors, but it's a drip, right? I drive a company truck that is Brandon, I used to make the joke when it was just me, what am I going to do when the phone rings? Cause I'm driving around. Okay. Well, that's not how it works. You drive around. Somebody sees you with a t-shirt that has your brand on it. Somebody sees something that you posted on Facebook and it's looking again, like what you do. All of a sudden that drip, that little bit of continuity starts to build your brand recognition and awareness. And then you just can't underestimate just straight up time. If mm-hmm. what you want is for it to happen fast, unfortunately, long game is oftentimes your friend. I've been in this community for 15 years doing the same thing. And just now people will be like, yeah, I think I've heard of you. You're like, awesome. Great. It's working now.
I'm so glad you brought up brand continuity, because that's something we talk about on the podcast. Our listeners, we talk about how it's all about like brand clarity is usually the term that we use, where you can look at your Instagram profile or your TikTok profile or your YouTube and your content pillars, whether that be photography or content creation or fashion, all of that is reflected in all of your platforms. And so you used a real life example of having branding on a t-shirt, a truck, or whatever that may be, right? And so those same principles of brand clarity or brand continuity applies both for digital and like traditional ways of marketing. And so thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's like such a great real life, like lived experience that I think our listeners could benefit from. So kind of a next question here, what's next for your brand and business?
So I think my word for myself is growth and collaboration. I spent a lot of time just it being me. What can I do? And I have changed that thinking as we have grown in space and we have grown in staff, to realizing that my focus is going to first be, I'm just going to back up one second. So we have always been about you on your best day. And the priority has always been our clients. But what I recognized very early on, and I started to say this a little bit earlier as we've been chatting, that I had to make sure I was taking care of me first. Well, that applied also to our staff. So when I put things in order here, I say, I need to take care of you guys first. Our clients are important, but I can't ask you to take care of clients if I don't make you my first priority. So the health, balance, well-being of our staff and our team allows for us to then take care of our clients in our best fashion. So I start first now in terms of our goals. We are in this bigger space and we've come through, I mean, arguably the last 2 years has been a lot for people, and every kind of small business has a different kind of impact. But my first priority and goal is, as we are growing, to care for our team and add to our people in a culture that matches what we're doing. So we are growing in terms of our staff and our team members. And I want to be really slow and thoughtful about how and who we add here, because again, I'm not in a rush. I'm playing long game about what we are building. So we are growing what we do and the volume of people that we do it for. And it's not just Brooke Clark doing it anymore. So each person that we add here has to be special and has to match what we're doing. So the first is, my short-term goal is to continue to grow thoughtfully and take care of our employees so they take care of our clients. And then my longer term goal is to, at some point, we don't occupy the whole building right now, but at some point, to grow in terms of how many people we can service. Right now, we do about 400 sessions a year. And so over time, what I would like to see is if we could increase that number and still maintain the amazing connection and personalization. Again, we're not going worldwide, but the whole idea is to just do more than just Brooke Clark doing everything here.
Oh, that's incredible. I know, I drove past your new space the other day and I was like, oh, hey, I remember like the studio space that we had when we shot a few years back. And I was, it's just so incredible to watch your growth and how you've been. And I love that those are kind of your goals and that so aligns with every experience that I had when I was at Studio B. And what would you say is maybe some advice that you would give to someone who does have dreams of starting their own brand or business? I mean, you've been so successful. And I also just feel like you have such a great attitude around it and also just great experience. So we would love to hear from you what advice you would give.
For somebody getting started?
Yes.
Wow. So many things. I think first just be, give yourself grace and patience. Like that's the very first. It is sometimes we're so hard on ourselves as we are trying to make our way. My very first, if I was getting started, is to learn. I wish somebody had told me, I did stumble into it, but I wish somebody had told me how many opportunities there were to invest and learn. Most things that we are doing as creators and business owners, nobody's reinventing the wheel here. So the very first time I traveled for a small conference or an in-person learning, it changed everything about my business. I think on occasion, when we're trying to learn something, we are short on dollars and we are scrapping, right? We're looking on YouTube and which all of that stuff where you are self-teaching, it is fantastic. And I still self-teach, but one of the, I liked the word you used, Emma, earlier about pillars. One of the pillars that I have always used for myself is I pay for learning and continued learning. And if I was going to speak to somebody else, this is not about having to go get your four-year college degree or any of those things, but I buy and purchase continuing education of all kinds. Sometimes it is accountants. Sometimes it is SEO. Sometimes it is web design. I really like shortening my learning curve by paying for my education. And again, these don't have to be mind-blowing investments, but I shorten my learning curve by making sure I'm continually investing in my own education and my team as well. And so if somebody was getting started, yes, use your free resources and then consider where somebody else has already done all the heavy lifting for you. And maybe invest in that. I mean, everybody knows Black Friday is a really good time to shop for that stuff, but there's tons of things where people will shorten your learning curve to your success. Beyond that, I would say do an internship, work for somebody who you admire to learn the ins and outs of what and how they do it. There's nothing better than real world for teaching you what you might want to do in yours.
Such great piece of advice, Brooke. I also echo just looking at, again, like what you said is true. It's like, there's so many great free resources out there. There's creators who share tips. There's this podcast. If you're a content creator and you want to learn more about getting started, but there's also so many great courses and eBooks. And there are, I loved how you phrased it, shortening the learning curve. Like that is like exactly what you're doing when you're able to invest in yourself and making that a priority. I'm kind of one of those people where I like loved school, very academic, like got my master's, but my master's was in digital media. And originally I thought I would go further down that path in corporate America prior to getting laid off last year. But that program, I mean, it literally like changed the trajectory of my creative career because it's exactly what you said. It's like these foundational principles within digital marketing, whether you're applying it to UX and setting content strategy for a website, like that directly applies if you are, you know, someone who works in the digital space, like an influencer. And so for me, I was like, oh my gosh, this was like so worth it. Like, I'm so glad I did this. And so I'm really glad you said that. And then also what you said about getting real world experience and just going out there and working for someone and getting like an internship or whatever that may be. I think that is such a great piece of, you know, great advice, especially like if you already have an interest, you know, maybe if you're out there, you're interested in becoming a photographer and you want to kind of just like learn the ropes and like the ins and outs. Like, I think it would be great to see like what opportunities or internships are out there to like get your feet wet. And so, yeah, thank you for that.
Well, and I think to that point too, I think it's really interesting. I'm just, every word that ever comes to mind whenever we're doing business here is service, be in service to your clients in the way that works for them. And I think if I was encouraging somebody when they're going to go do an internship or give without expectation, you are going to have fruits of your labor. Like, that's going to happen. But the thing when you are approaching a small business or again, any person where you're doing an ask, first start in service to them, especially if you're new, you know, somebody coming up to somebody and being like, you know what I need from you? Nobody wants to hear what you need from them. You would be very well served to be like, you know what I can do for you? And there will be a lot of small business people, especially if that's where you're beginning your journey, or understaffed people who will be very open to you being a helper. And again, there will be fruits of your effort, but give without expectation. And I think that is a really great place to, you know, just begin your journey when you are considering wanting to do something new where you are learning for yourself.
That's awesome. Great. Also great advice. All right. So we're going to move into kind of the last segment of our just conversation today around photo or posing tips for our audience. Do you have any tips to help people become more comfortable in front of the camera?
Oh yeah. Well, and here's what's really fun. This could be like a whole thing all to itself, because I think a lot of people have anxiety about being photographed. I often joke that I am the dentist for many a person, right? They're not super excited to do this process. And there's a lot of things that can make it a bit easier for you. And the first, we kind of chatted about this. If you have the means to do professional hair and makeup, just looking your best self is just a really good beginning to liking the results. And if you aren't going to make a purchase, no problem. Do your very best DIY of yourself, or somebody that you know who's really good at hair and makeup, right? You're looking for the very best, put your best foot forward step visually. And I like the idea of taking any kind of makeover off the table. Style yourself for your confidence. And most of us know where we look or feel our best in terms of color or style. I'll just use my sister as the example. She likes black with a little black and a sprinkle of black. Well, right? Where you're like, oh, well, okay. If I want her to feel comfortable in front of a camera, what I'm not going to do is put her in white on white with a little bit of cream, right? I've been ultimately taking her right out of her comfort zone by giving her a makeover to something that isn't her confidence point. So I like the idea of pick what you know you typically feel good in. And there has been occasion now over the last couple of years where people have put on weight or they're not visually pleased. So they're like, well, normally I would have said I like this, but it's been a rough year. It's been a rough time. Don't laugh when I tell you this, but do you know what you also can do? Give yourself some distance. Stop holding a selfie or being right up in the camera space at HD as we are photographing. Go ahead and give yourself a little artsy creative control of giving yourself some space from the camera. Not every shot forever, amen. But right now, if you're not in your most confident day and time of your life, there are so many ways to do visual presentations that if your light is good, you will like the results just for picking the colors that you like, selecting an outfit where you feel confident, and then not getting right up in the camera will just give you a little bit more confidence and comfort when you are trying to get camera ready.
Those are great tips. I love the one, literally what you just said, like not being so close. Cause now I think like, I think everyone has that reaction when you flip that selfie camera on and your phone's low and you're like, whoa, that is really close. Great. Right? That's a great tip. All right. So next question. What's one tip you have for styling photo shoots for a studio? Again, we have a lot of creators in our, you know, in our podcast audience, and you run, you know, really successful studio. Do you have any tips around, you know, styling a photo shoot? Maybe it's like a holiday themed one or whatever that may be.
Yeah. I'm just going to speak for myself because I know everybody has different ideas of what they want. When I very first started, I'm going to embarrass myself right now. When I very first started, this is not a joke. I bought a big 3-foot rock. It was a plastic rock. And I posed my daughter next to it. And I put it in the spare bedroom of our house. And my husband said, you bought a rock? Of all the things you could invest in, you're like in Southern California, you could walk outside and there's boulders on the beach. And I was like, I don't know, right? It didn't even occur to me really. Where are you going bang for buck? What, I don't know what made me do that of all the things I could buy. And so I spent many, many months buying just weird props and things that I was trying to style for my little baby in this room. I didn't have a style. So I was like, well, I guess I saw somebody else do this. So now I'll do it too. I have entirely shifted what I like in terms of a studio look. I really like simplicity. I like a clean, modern approach. And for me, that always works. So similar to when you might be doing style or design, if you're doing interior design, oftentimes people tell you, what is your focal point of the room, right? Or when you're dressing yourself, if you are styling, is it a fabulous earring? Is it a great coat? What is the thing that is the focal point? Well, when I'm doing a studio session, I am always reminded that the focal point of a portrait session at Studio B Portraits is the person and the emotion and the personality. That every single time is my North Star. So anything that steals from the person and the emotion is not going to be a match. So then now when you bring that into, well, let's talk about that. It's not just always going to be just a person sitting on a bare set. So what are you thinking? Well, it could be a piece of furniture. Like, is it a statement chair that they can pose in all different ways? Great. You don't even have to buy new stuff, right? You can thrift. You can go on Facebook Marketplace. I don't know, Maddie, maybe you do know this. After you did your wedding, and if you've been a person who looked for wedding things, you realize that your whole feed is full of wedding inspired stuff because the internet knows what we're doing, right? All the time. So I find that the minute I look for something on Facebook Marketplace, then I get served up all of these things. So if you start to look for something, the resale on people who had events or did something, you can get what they used and don't want to use anymore for way less. So when you're starting to come up with, well, I wanted to do Pampas grass. And then you go in and you see that somebody already bought like 60 bundles, but they'll sell it to you for pennies. Well, that's now the focal point of the studio shoot. The investment was minimal. I made a look, I did color tone on tone, and we're off to the races. I don't keep anything. My days of buying 3 feet rocks is over. And so it's like everything for me is simplicity of one focal point. The first is the person. And then the second is maybe a singular prop or additive, but nothing busy, not in a studio situation.
Yeah, I love that. And I was going to say, Pampas grass is expensive. So is. If you can get that for a good deal, I remember I was looking for some to decorate our house when we first moved in. And yeah, Facebook Marketplace is absolutely the way to go. And I'm all for, you know, like with the props and everything too. I love those tips that you gave because I have a prop closet and it is getting very, very full. So I very much appreciate those tips because it's literally an entire closet where I have next to no space. Also wardrobe. I need to, I don't know if you've seen like my selkie obsession, but I actually saw you shot a senior.
Yeah.
Oh, all the time. I saw that one of your seniors had a selkie dress and I almost commented and was like,
Well, and here's the thing that's really interesting about that too. And I know in your world where you guys can collaborate and people will loan you things, I don't think you can underestimate that too when you're talking about collaboration. I often think we think of big brands, you know, people go into Nordstrom and then they just tuck the tags or whatever. But kind of going back to that thought around service, going into a local boutique and saying, you know what, I'm going to borrow your things and then I'm going to tag you and we're going to work together and maybe I can send some eyeballs or some people over. That is just so helpful for when you are beginning. And I think when I very first started, I wanted to be shy, and you didn't realize that if you just approach them in a manner of service, that people's hearts and minds are open to collaborating when, again, you're not going in there with expectation, you're going in with give and service.
Absolutely. I love that. Yeah. Especially when, I mean, it's just, it's about community and like your small businesses helping other small businesses and helping other creators. And I think that's such a great mindset to have and such a great tip. And then we have one final question for you. And I'm very curious to hear your answer. Cause I know I remember when we were shooting together, like you had all these spots just off the top of your head. And I was so astounded. Every place was perfect for what like we were trying to accomplish. So do you have any tips for finding photo shoot locations around your hometown or your city?
I know you're not going to be surprised when I tell you I follow people like you guys. I am always, always a work in progress in terms of finding things. When I shot in Los Angeles, because the weather is always just spectacularly beautiful, Southern California, you grow accustomed to always looking for textures, venues. I mean, God bless the person who always has like the Pacific Ocean outside their door. But for the rest of us, again, you're always kind of on the lookout for something that is fresh and new. And here in the Northwest, you start to get dialed in to there might be five locations. So you're like, great, if I'm in Seattle, I can do the Space Needle, Discovery Park, Gold Creek Pond. Like you're coming up with the things that everybody speaks around. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go and fight crowds and do things. So as we have, again, been here for so many years, I am always on the lookout and making notes around places that I want to come back or revisit. And so the things that hit me are anything revolving around nature. I know it's going to have a different look depending on the season. So I will make notes for myself to come back and revisit that because visually it will change and it just gives me a little something in my arsenal to remember. So the example I would give, I hear people all the time speak around pumpkin patches, flower fields, right as you're going through those, they can be the same place, but it changes depending on what the season is. And whenever I am looking for places, I also am not unafraid to then go and approach business owners. If they have something, I try to collaborate with what we're doing. So for example, hotels, they are beautiful by design. And so I'm like, well, in our case, we're making pictures. So of course we're like, and then we will tag again. It's, I think, probably very common in what you guys do too, that you are collaborating in that way. I also realized that photography doesn't require big, expansive venues. I've done whole shoots on just one great wall. It doesn't have to be huge. So little pieces and parts of spaces can make great photo shoots. I think sometimes we think it has to be, I took my relatives that were visiting to Snoqualmie Falls. And it was like, it's spectacular in every way. Like God made the most fantastical space and place. But what I realized is on my way home, there is a water feature that an apartment complex built that has probably 9-foot by 10-foot waterfall feature. And I took my kid just to prove my point and set them up in front of it. And people are like, oh my gosh, where are you? And I'm like, you don't even want to know where I'm at. right? There are so many versions of things that you can use that are actually right in your backyard. If you start looking for smaller versions, yes, Snoqualmie Falls all day, every day. Thank you. Yes, please. But this little apartment thing, they were killing it with the waterfall. It was really great. So just bringing your sight line down was really helpful for me finding new things.
I love that. Honestly, like, especially when I was first starting and didn't really have the money to invest in like going to locations. And I was just starting to pick up on different like holiday collab or sorry, hotel collabs. I'm getting confused with the holidays coming up. Like, but I, when all of that, like, I didn't have like necessarily the budget for that. And I was just getting started. I remember I did so many roadside photo shoots where there were like these beautiful, like small patches of flowers. And I'd like lay down and then you zoom out and there's like a car like flying. By
a dumpster 3 feet away, right?
Exactly. Those are honestly the best. You really just have to, you know, keep an eye out and keep like just looking in terms of like where, even if it is just like a smaller space, like thinking of how you can use that to your advantage. And like, because yeah, there are like these great spots that you can visit. I remember one of the first times I saw that vintage Shell station was when I think you had a photo of it in your studio when I first went, and Emma and I went down there, what, like 2 years ago? Yeah. And that is to this day, probably one of my most popular TikToks is just talking about that location, but then it gets super busy and then you can't really take as like, you can't take the kind of photos that you want to. So knowing those places, but then also finding the beauty in the smaller locations as well.
Well, and I also think picking, it's interesting too, because we don't photograph, evenings and the golden hour, the normal things that people would go to. I am consistently surprised by some of the most popular places. If you can go different times of days or times of the week, that you can pick some of these bigger places that everybody knows, but you won't fight the crowds. So just sometimes changing your time of day or day of the week can also be super helpful with venues. Even if you are trying to collaborate too, times of year where it isn't as popular for them, where you're like, I could give you some eyeballs or some focus at a time that isn't your normal season of, you know, excited. So sometimes it's just maybe changing your mindset to when you're approaching the venue, the collaboration, and that kind of thing.
Oh, that's such a great tip. Yeah. Emma and I, when we were in New York for Fashion Week a few years back, Emma was like, we have to shoot the Brooklyn Bridge, but we have to go at like, literally it was like sunrise. I think we were up at like 6 a.m. or something like that and trying to shoot. And then we went there. No one was on the bridge. And so many people asked like both of us how we edited the people out or how we got the bridge empty. And I was just like, that was all Emma. We just went super early. I remember I was like super cranky. I was like, I don't want to do this. But then we got there and it was so worth it. It was beautiful.
I feel like that is, again, talk about like little thing, big difference. I had another photographer tell me the same thing about when she was trying to shoot the Eiffel Tower. Everybody wants that shot. Everybody doesn't want that short a shot at 5:15 a.m.
Right? Yeah, no, everyone's running around. You're not going to get a shot without at least 12, probably like 50 plus people in the background, in the immediate background, not even like expanding out.
Right. That's so funny. It's true.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. I know we ran a little long, but we so appreciate you staying on and chatting. This was just so great to catch up with you and learn more about what Studio B is up to. Can you please share with our listeners where they can find and connect with you?
Oh yeah. Thank you for asking. So we are Studio B Portraits everywhere. So a lot of times at Studio B Portraits on all of the platforms. And then for shorthand, a lot of people just do Studio B Issaquah and we come right up.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this week's podcast episode. Please rate, review, and recommend the podcast to your friends. And if we haven't connected on Instagram yet, you can find us at Emma's Edition, at Mad Cray, and at the Content Creatives Podcast. Join our podcast Facebook group and sign up for our weekly email newsletter on our website. And we'll see you guys next time.